Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I didn't realize this until about a minute before I pressed record that this episode will, I guess, be our birthday episode. So the first episode of this podcast came out July 14th, 2021. So it's been 4 years now since we started the show. And I want to thank all of you who have been listening from day one, or maybe you joined in recently. Thank you for just being a part of this. And a lot of you who listen to this show weekly, I've had the pleasure of developing friendships with you and getting to talk with you about the podcast. I love whenever people come up to me and say that they listen to the pod. So thank you for 4 great years. And I especially want to thank those of you who support Katina Ministries financially as monthly partners. This show wouldn't exist if it weren't for you. So thank you so much for your generosity and for your belief in our mission. So if you're curious about Katina Ministries and what we do beyond this podcast, the best way to learn more about that would be to visit thekatinas.com, and you'll find our info there. So I'm excited for today's birthday guest, someone who has been, this will be his fourth time on the show now, but it's been over 2 years since we've gotten him in the studio. But I'd like to welcome my cousin, Jackson Katina. Jack, thanks for being here, bro.
Dude, thanks for having me. Number four.
Number four. We were talking before. We couldn't even really remember what we talked about the last few times you were on the show. The most recent time you were on the show, the title of that episode is Dr. Katina, with Jackson Katina. So it must have been right before you graduated from PT school, right?
Yep, it was right before.
So it's been 2 years now.
Yeah.
And that was... right after you graduated, you and your wife Leah moved here.
Yep.
So you've been here in Middle Tennessee now for 2 years.
Yeah, as well. A little over 2 years. Yep.
It's crazy. I know a lot has happened in your life in the last 2 years. Could you give like a brief overview of anything that you find important or the changes in your life that have happened in the last 2 years?
Sure. When I think back to 2 years ago. And like the big things that have changed, I would say one, almost a year ago now, Leah and I had our son Shiloh. So we have an almost 1 year old little boy. We bought a home this past November. I got super into golf.
I guess, yeah, that did happen right around when you graduated.
That was right around that podcast was probably my first round, and me and you played with Eli and Hank. That was my first round. Wow. Was that your first round?
No, but it was one of my first three or four rounds.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. So, what else? I recently had a job change. I was working at an outpatient clinic, doing like traditional physical therapy. When most people think of physical therapy, that's what they think of. Mm-hmm. But now I'm doing home health, which has been cool. And then I recently started a physical therapy business where I'm kind of doing my own thing, treating athletes at a CrossFit gym, just under my LLC. So I would say those are the big things over the past 2 years.
Dude, a lot happens in 2 years.
Yeah, a lot.
How much of that were you planning on 2 years ago when we sat down? Like, if you had listened to this, if you time traveled.
Yeah, that's a really great question, because some of the biggest things were not in the cards. Uh-huh. So I would have thought I was very far away from buying a home at the time. Uh-huh. I definitely would not have expected me to have a 1-year-old 2 years later. Right. So me and my wife, I guess, we got pregnant maybe a handful of months after that podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I was going to be a physical therapist, but would have never imagined being in the home health setting this early. So yeah, other than probably golf, I knew I wanted to get into golf. Everything else was a change.
That's
a shock.
Interesting. Yeah. Like I feel like everyone has heard that question, like, what's your 5-year plan?
Yeah.
Or like, and there's some people that I know who I think are really good at like planning out the trajectory of like, whether it's career or family life or, but I am not like that. Like, if you ask me what I'm doing in a year from now, to be like, I think I have a good guess, but things could go very differently and it wouldn't like shock me, if that makes sense. Would you say you're like a planner? Like,
I would to a certain, but so one thing I've learned about myself, I learned through what my four uncles say about my dad, which you've probably heard this many times, is that my dad is futuristic.
Yeah.
I've realized that I'm very similar to my dad in that regard. And I think a lot about the future, but I don't necessarily, I'm not super specific in like, oh, by this year I need to be doing this. So, so I relate to you in this, and especially with what we just said, right?
Yeah.
I recognize that you don't know the future,
right?
And like, you don't know how the cards are going to play out. But at the same time, I like to think that I know what the next 5 years are going to look like.
Uh-huh.
But
the uncles say, I hear that a lot, James is futuristic, which I definitely see why people say that. I feel like a better descriptor, because I work with your dad.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've gotten to see that side of him more just working with him. He, even beyond just being focused on the future, I feel like your dad is just like a dynamo of ideas.
Yeah.
Like, he's just an idea guy.
Uh-huh.
And which is great. Like, but sometimes it's overwhelming.
Sure.
Too. Like, your dad has constantly new ideas of how to do certain things for the ministry or for Love Squared or for even like internally. He just has all kinds of ideas.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a strength of his. It can also be a weakness, I think.
Sure.
I wonder, do you see that in yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing that I learned this tactic recently that I want to start doing, and maybe my dad needs to do this, is if you have an idea, you write it down immediately, because some ideas are incredible. Some ideas are worth zero.
Yeah.
So write it down, and then go back to it. Just keep a catalog, and you know, probably 90% of them, you're just going to throw out, but there, you might find a few gems in there that could be revolutionary, at least for your life. So I want to start doing that, but yes, I definitely have a lot of ideas similar to my dad.
I feel like that about music sometimes. Like when I'm in a really good like creative rhythm, I'm really good about, as soon as I have an idea for like a song or something, I'll write stuff down, or I'll put it like, I'll create something like just like a basic sample track or whatever, and probably 9 out of 10 of those ideas, like the next day I'm like, this is horrible. This is trash. But every once in a while I'll hit on something.
And it's
like, that's, I feel like, I don't know who told me this, but I was very young and I was starting to write songs, and it might've been it probably was my dad. He would have been one of the few people that like was speaking into my life as a songwriter then. Yeah. He said, you got to write bad songs to write good ones. Mm. And so I remember he was encouraging me. My dad probably doesn't even remember this, but I would have been in high school. And I was in the beginning of like writing music and recording my own stuff. And I had a microphone that I bought off Amazon. Mm-hmm. It was like $100. It was not a good quality mic.
Yeah.
And I had no money. Bubble? I think it was called the Snowball. I still have it somewhere. Yes. Yeah.
I remember the Snowball.
But, I remember I was like 15 probably. I had no money and I asked my parents, would you guys buy me, I had a microphone that I wanted to buy and my dad said, we'll buy you the mic after you write 100 songs.
Dang, that's...
And he said that, I feel like he said that like kind of flippantly, yeah, yeah. Like he's never going to do
Joe's
that.
Joe's cracking the whip.
Yeah, but that was good motivation for me to uh-huh. like, I didn't like keep count, but I wrote a lot of songs that I never recorded or anything, but just getting like the bad songs out of yeah. me so I could finally get to a good one.
Do you, I'm not a songwriter, so mm-hmm. I'm curious. That sounds like a lot of songs to me. Yeah. Like, do you think you've even written 100 songs? Full?
Oh, yeah.
You think so? 100 full songs?
Yeah.
Okay. How many do you think you've written?
Full finished songs?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I started like really writing songs when I was like 15, so almost 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd have to say, now there was several years in, it's not like I was cranking. Consistent yeah. about it all 15 years.
Yeah.
But if I had to average it out, I would say I probably have written, I don't know, 15 to 20 full songs a year
okay.
for the last yeah. 15 years. Yeah. So whatever that math is.
Okay. Yeah. Like 300.
Yeah. Something roughly. Like that. Now, if you ask how many like songs I've started, it's like, I don't know if it's 1,000, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a lot of yeah. songs that I've started and just never finished.
You know, it's funny when you say that. There's a bunch of... So when you were releasing your beat, one beat a day for a year,
mm-hmm.
and you put out, like, I guess the highlights per month, uh-huh. every month, I have a handful of those beats saved on Spotify.
Oh.
And sometimes they'll pop up on Shuffle, mm-hmm. and I'll listen to it. And I love when... You know, I'm just hearing a beat and then I'll just randomly hear a hook.
Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, he was kind of cooking. Like, he was potentially going to write something on this, but he didn't finish it.
Yeah. You know, what's even more fun for me is sometimes when I'm looking for music for the Katinas, we'll do like videos or whatever. And sometimes they'll use some of my music, uh-huh. my beats. I'll go through my YouTube channel where all of the beats are,
mm-hmm.
and I'll hear stuff that I haven't heard since, like, it was in 2022 when I did that,
uh-huh.
and I'll hear it. I'm like, wow, I was...
It was 22 when you did the beat for a year?
Yeah, 2022. Oh my gosh,
that was a while ago.
Yeah, so I finished December 2022. Yeah. So
I don't know why it feels so recent to me. Does it feel recent to you or no? Does that feel like a lifetime ago?
Feels like a long time
really?
Ago.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
That year felt like that was like a very the year in general, even outside of music, was kind of like it was a tough year for me, honestly.
Yeah.
For a lot of different reasons, but yeah, that feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I was going through a career change during that time. I was newly married.
Mm-hmm.
Some like stuff in my family, just dealing with a lot of different stuff. Uh-huh. So it's crazy that like, it's funny how like hard or times of like struggle, even though it's only like 3 years ago, it feels like a lot longer to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. While we're on the topic, so I was listening to your podcast with River.
Uh-huh.
And one thing y'all talked about, because River's making music now.
Yeah.
Shout out River. It's fire. But mm-hmm. River's making music now, and y'all were talking about how really any artist, like anybody who creates anything, typically they're going to want it to be consumed by as many people as possible. And I know that you were talking to him and saying like, that's less of a motivator for me now. Like mm-hmm. It's less important.
Yeah.
One thing that I was thinking about though, that I thought was cool and that I want you to appreciate is I think it's really cool that everybody that you love and are close to in your life really enjoys your music.
Hmm.
I mean, if it were me and if I was creating music,
yeah,
that's the only people I would really care about whether or not they liked it. So, I just think that's cool. And I mean, I obviously think you should be quote unquote bigger than you are. Like, I think the masses should flock to your music 'cause I enjoy it so much, but I think it's at least cool that your core people like genuinely, we're not gassing you up. Like mm-hmm. we genuinely enjoy your music.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely know that. And I love when, our family like, or friends will tell me that they enjoy my music like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to act like I don't care about that at all. Yeah. Whenever I'm making stuff and I like something, it's like there's a handful of people that I'll send it to. You're one of those people mm-hmm. that you've probably heard a lot of stuff that I've never released or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that conversation with Riv, I don't think it's definitely not a bad thing to like want the masses to hear your stuff. I think for me, and I may have said this to River, so I could be repeating it, but like I try my hardest, and did I talk about the Rick Rubin book that I read?
Yeah.
So that really influenced me in like trying to not have the audience in the room with you while you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And what he means by that is like, if you're making music with other people in mind or any kind of art,
mm-hmm.
that's going to taint the process.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the way he would say it is. It's not going to be as honest as it needs to be.
Yeah.
And so that has been like I read that in 2022, I think, or maybe 23. I don't know.
Was that the book with the like,
It has like a record. It has like a vinyl. It looks like a vinyl record.
Yeah.
But yeah, trying not to have the audience in the room with me when I'm writing is really hard for one. Like, I didn't realize how much I was thinking about the audience until I started being conscious of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's something more fulfilling in the creative process to me. I don't know if it necessarily makes the music better. The hope is that it would be.
Yeah.
But the creative process to me is more fulfilling when I'm making it really for myself and to my own taste.
It's a better reflection of you.
Right.
If you had to grade yourself on your latest EP, so Spring, doing that, just that, if you had to grade yourself, what grade are you giving yourself?
I would give myself, I don't know.
If an A plus is you did not think once about, let's maybe we'll give it a number, right? So if that's 100.
Yeah. Honestly, if I'm being really honest, probably like a C. Okay. Or like a 70.
Yeah. So you passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think I went in with the intention at the beginning of each song
mm-hmm.
and even songs that didn't make it on the EP with that intention to like not have the audience in the room with me, but they creep in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They
for sure creep in. I think that's extremely hard to do.
Yeah.
So when does Summer come out?
Next week.
Okay.
July 18th.
Everybody go listen
it's
to Summer
week
next
from,
week.
I think it's Friday the 18th.
Yeah.
So,
Do you think you did any better with Summer, or do you think it was, you did kind of the same approach where you went
in? I think I did do better.
Okay.
And Spring, when I recorded Spring, like I think one of those songs was written like late 2024. Mm-hmm. Like basically I only had 3 months to make Summer.
Okay.
Spring, I have more time because I wasn't like, that was the first one.
Yeah.
So part of like the time crunch of, okay, you have 3 months to make these songs. I feel like, I was a little less like critical of myself.
Yeah.
And maybe that would be a good thing. That's cool. I think it will be, I'm happy with how it sounds, and I'm still putting like the finishing touches on some of the stuff, but
are you changing the sound that you're going for each season that you're going to release, or are you kind of just free, like going with what you're feeling at the time?
So that's a good question. I considered that when I was like, should I be intentional about the sound, like making this sound like summer, this sound like spring. Mm-hmm. And what I decided was, since I guess one or two of the songs on spring are an exception, but moving forward, there's no exceptions. Like since I'm literally writing and recording these kind of live, like during summer, I feel like however I feel, it's going to come out through the music.
That's so cool.
I'm not really, it'll be interesting to see if people think like, oh yeah, this sounds different.
Yeah. Just curious, what were the two songs that you did not write during spring, for spring? Was Daylight one of them?
Daylight was one of them, yeah. And then Raindrop as well.
Okay, yeah.
Those two I had started earlier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are definitely winter vibes.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably just...
Bro, I can see why Raindrop feels... It's kind of sad.
Daylight for sure feels... it doesn't feel spring to me, and I don't know why, but man, I love that EP. Leah, about every morning when we're making breakfast, is like, play On the Chin or play. Like, she's just calling them out. That's awesome. She loves it. So,
let me ask you about, you know, family life. You and Leah and Shiloh have a new home that you guys moved into recently.
Yeah.
Shiloh's about to turn one.
Yeah.
How has like the first year of fatherhood been, and parenthood for you and Leah? How has that been?
It's been amazing. I mean, you know, obviously there are challenges, but I feel like it's been overplayed a little bit. And I fully recognize, like, I know parents are listening to this and be like, just you wait until they're teenagers. But I also heard that, like, for the newborn phase, and, you know, I'll just wait until they're two. So, yes, there are challenges, but the fruit is so much greater. So it's been awesome. I mean, the thing that I love about this age is that they are changing constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, even just the beach trip we went on, last week, I swear he went through like a cognitive leap and all of a sudden was doing like new things. And it's just super cool. So, yes, there are the obstacles, but, the reward is so much greater. It's been awesome.
So one thing that I'm sure your parents have told you before in your life, they've said this phrase, when you have kids of your own, you'll understand.
Absolutely.
What are some of those things that having a son helped you to understand that you just never could before?
Yeah. Just how, not to be morbid, but like just how easily you can die.
Yeah.
Right. So like, or how easily you could, change your life forever by something, by a small mistake.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I think back to when I was in middle school and high school and my mom was telling me like, you can't go on the lake with your friends on 4th of July because, you know, there's drunk people driving the boats. And I'm like, Mom, you fear over everything. Yeah. I specifically remember saying that. And now I have those thoughts for him.
New fears.
Yeah. I think about, everything that could go wrong on his behalf. So, But I mean, I tried my best to not let that cripple me or anything like that. But oh yeah, it's that saying definitely rings true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, I'm curious, like, have you ever had to say sorry to your parents? Like, I understand now, mom or dad.
No, but I probably should. Mom, yeah. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry. You were right all along.
What has been like the biggest surprise what's the thing that maybe you enjoy a lot that you didn't know you were going to enjoy about being a dad?
The biggest surprise, I would say, I was talking to my brother Dylan about this at the beach. So I've wanted to be a father since I was in high school, which is kind of weird to say, but I just always loved the idea of having kids. And I knew it would be incredible. But the surprise was I can't believe how amazing it truly is. Like, I thought I knew it was going to be great. It's greater than I could have possibly imagined. So that's been a really pleasant surprise. I would say maybe you could look at it as a negative, but I think it's truly a positive, is that, you know, one thing that a friend of mine said when Leah and I were pregnant, I guess Leah was pregnant, was that he said, you know, when you have a girlfriend, that is an associate's degree in selflessness. When you get married, that's the bachelor's. When you have a kid, that's the doctorate. That's the, you won't be prepared for it. You can read your books. You can selflessness. You can try to prepare mentally for, you know, giving up this and giving up that, but it, I was not ready. I was truly surprised at how selfless I had to be to be a good father.
My next question was going to be like, what's the biggest sacrifice you've had to make, if you can think of one?
I mean, it's just time, right? Yeah. Like you don't have the freedom to do what you want anymore. Like, even as a married man, for the most part, I could relatively do what I wanted as long as it kind of fit into Leah and I's life. But that's no longer the case. But I had an epiphany when a few months ago when I was giving Shiloh a bath. Leah was having a girls' night. So I was taking care of him that night. It was just me and him. I was giving him a bath. And I specifically remember the newborn phase being like, man, I give him a bath every day, every night. Like, I used to do this every night. Now I give him a bath. Like, I was kind of dealing with a little bit of, not resentment, but just like loss. Like, I'm losing my old life. But I remember a few months ago when I was giving him a bath, I was like, man, yeah, I used to do that stuff. But there's nothing I would rather do right now than give this guy a bath. So even though your life changes dramatically, you learn to love it far more than your previous one. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I just had this memory. So for people listening, if you don't know, me and Jackson were college roommates for 4 years or...
Yeah.
And I remember... hopefully it's okay that I share this.
Go for it.
We might have been in our dorm, so it might have been the first year. I don't remember when it was exactly, but I remember you were sharing with me one of the things that, I guess it would be like a fear or just a doubt that you had, was like providing was like a big thing for you at that time. You wanted to be able to be a provider for a wife and a kid. And this was, you and Leah, I don't think had even met yet. And obviously Shiloh was not here. And I wonder, do you remember that, like, being a fear that you had, or maybe that you still have?
Yeah, I still deal with that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I wish that, I don't know what I said to you when I wish I could have said, well, I saw you in 2025 and things seemed like they were going pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been funny to look back on, even to myself, like, just the changes that have happened in my life, that it's they just kind of slowly happen and you enter a new phase of life. And obviously you're in a new phase of life. And I feel like you're facing those things that you used to think, oh, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to do that. I think there's something beautiful about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would agree. I mean, life goes on. Yeah. Like, your worries are always bigger than the monster that comes to the door. So, God is good.
Yeah.
God is good.
How, we talked about it a little bit. So 2 years ago, you started golfing.
Yeah.
Just over 2 years ago. And you golf a lot still. That's golfing one thing tomorrow. You haven't sacrificed.
That's right. No, I really have made it. Genuinely have made it an effort to, like, I'll give up this, I'll give up that. I really don't want to give up my weekly round. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So here and there I have to, but Leah's really gracious with me and she allows me to have that time.
How much has your golf game changed in the last 2 years?
It's gotten better. Oh, I thought you were going to say since Shiloh was born. How much has it changed? Well, I mean, dramatically. Like, for those of you who don't play golf, I would say that golf, and I'm specifically speaking to people who enjoy sports.
Mm-hmm.
Golf is a unique sport in that nothing really translates to it very well. Like, some racket sports, sort of, but there is really nothing like it. And, you know, if you grew up playing football, if your friend invites you out onto the basketball court and you've never played basketball before, just with your athletic ability of playing football, you'll be able to hang. You may not be the MVP of the game, but you're going to be able to at least contribute to the team. But if you step out onto a golf course and you've never played golf before, look at LeBron James's last video on Instagram.
Yeah.
You will look like a fool. Uh-huh. Something about that athletic move of swinging the golf club is so foreign to most other athletic ventures that you have to put in a lot of time to actually know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, I've gotten a lot better since the first time I stepped onto the course.
I'm glad you brought up the LeBron thing. So LeBron posted on his Instagram recently, he's learning how to golf.
Yeah.
And he posted a video. I think he said it was his second time ever playing. And it's hilarious watching a guy who's like one of the most gifted athletes of all time. He looks just like anyone else would.
So awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very awkward. And like, all of his athletic giftings, it seems like they're not, it doesn't really matter. He has to start from square one just like everyone else.
Yeah.
I think athleticism definitely helps later on.
For sure.
Like, once you like higher skill level, like I think of like PGA Tour players, those guys are good athletes.
Right. Yeah.
But at the beginning, your athleticism is not really going to help you at all.
No. The question is, what is athleticism, right? Like, some people think it's power. Some people think it's hand-eye coordination. I would say the biggest thing in golf is just hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Yes, power can only multiply the extent at which you can shine on the course. But if you do not have extremely dialed in hand-eye coordination, the ball is so small. The club face on the club is so small. The margins for error are so tiny. You just have to have really good hand-eye coordination. And so I would say being athletic or having good hand-eye coordination while you may not start out great, it will help you accelerate quicker than if, you know, somebody had never played a sport before.
Yeah. Before I started golfing, like years ago, I played baseball growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, I always kind of thought like baseball, like being able to hit a baseball would help with golf.
Right.
It really doesn't. honestly works against you in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, the swing is very different. Like, the mechanics of the swing are pretty different.
Yeah.
And I also remember when I was like a kid playing baseball, everyone always said, they would tell, like, coaches would tell parents, don't let your kids play golf. Because it's going to mess up their swing.
Yeah.
And now it kind of makes sense to me.
You know what's funny? I've met a lot of guys playing golf, in a lot of the baseball players, a lot of them either are lefties on the golf course or they're righties on the golf course, lefties, lefty at bat in baseball. So in other words, they're playing switch on the course.
That's interesting.
Specifically because, yes, like you said, they didn't want to mess up their baseball swing.
Yeah. It will. I can totally see how it would ruin your...
Yeah.
Because if you try and swing a golf club like a baseball bat, it's not going to go well. So if you try to swing it, if you try to play baseball with like a golf swing, you'd never touch the ball.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
It's counterintuitive to me.
Like it
just, you're just taking a stick and hitting a ball. I would figure it would all be the same, but it's not.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll end with this. So we started off talking about how 2 years ago, you didn't foresee a lot of the things that happened in your life in 2 years. Let's for fun try and play the game. If you had to pick, so in 2 years you'll be 30. So what do you either plan on or hope for in the next 2 years?
A few things come to mind. I think in 2 years we will either be approaching having another child or maybe even already have one or have one on the way. That's one thing I foresee. Another, I guess hope would be that I am doing my, cash-based practice, physical therapy practice, full-time treating athletes, 'cause that's truly my passion. But I'm just now starting it out. So maybe I could get that rolling. Other than that, though, there's not too much I'm planning on for the next 2 years.
Yeah. You've got what you need.
I got what I need. That's been something that I've been, I guess, wrestling with over the past year. Is I think I'm a very ambitious person, and I hate to say it, but I want so much. However, I would like to think that I'm also a very grateful person.
Yeah.
And so those two sides of me clash all the time. And I told Leah this the other day, like, I have it all. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly could not, if this is where life peaked, I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm grateful. So I hope, maybe my hope is that in 2 years I have that same mentality and I'm not wanting a bunch of, XYZ.
Yeah. So. I think you need both.
Yeah, I think you do. I think there's a healthy amount of drive, but
I just moved into this house that we're in. And
congratulations, by the way. I love your new home.
Me and Alexis have been praying for and working for a house now for at least 2 years. Like, just the process, it's been hard for probably more than 2 years now I'm thinking about it, and it has been like kind of the goal in my life for the last several years.
Yeah.
I want to become a homeowner. I want to buy a house with my wife. Mm-hmm. So now we finally did it. And it's funny to me how quickly, I'm starting to think of the next thing.
Yes.
And I have shame about it that it's dude, you worked really hard.
Yeah.
God gave you a lot of things that, God made a way for you when you didn't see a way.
Yeah.
And now you finally have that thing and you're not even really being grateful.
Yeah.
And I am grateful, but it is there's a weird part of my nature. And I think a lot of people's nature where it's you're just always focusing on what's the next big thing. And I need to practice, keeping that in check.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I think a lot of people, relate to what we're saying, but
well, dude, it's always a pleasure having
always
you here.
A pleasure,
hopefully,
brother.
We won't go 2 years between our next episode.
Yeah.
And now we're neighbors, kind
neighbors.
Of, so
shout out Spring Hill, shout out Columbia, Tennessee.
You can come over more often. I love you and I'm proud of you, man. And thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Absolutely, I love you, brother.
Yeah. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We will be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day. Cheers.